We had a little confusion this morning, and we will be explaining as we get to that part of the service how a couple of things got rearranged. I think somehow between the communication between Pastor David and Jerry and me, we got things twisted up. But we got that solved this morning just in time for me to forget my sermon. So I'm going to be sitting today. Last night we stood and we blew our voices out at the CLSO concert. I'm in the choir there. And so, it's not even here, Ken. Oh, luckily, let me tell you a story. I can tell you a story about this. Back when I first started out, I was in a two-point parish. And sometimes when you have to go out in the country from one place to another, somebody wants to talk to you after services at the first service, and then you have to fly like the wind to get to your second place. And it does happen you forget your sermon at the first church. Therefore, it is incumbent upon any preacher to know their sermon well enough to preach it without notes. So that's what you're getting, okay? Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that caught my attention the most was the one from Acts, which you have in front of you. And there's a reason for that. I think for one thing, it catches that very human response to things that are new. We love them, we hate them, right? I love the smell of new cars. I love to hold new babies. I love it when there's a breakthrough in medicine that helps us be healthier or catch something earlier. I love that kind of new. I don't like so much when my friend's husband gets a new job and they have to move away. I didn't like new Coke. There are times when there's really no reason to try and improve something. And there have been times when I'm sure you have said this too, well, why'd they go and change that? We didn't need to do that. It was just fine the way it was, right? So we kind of have this love-hate relationship. But I think in part because new often means we have to change something about the way we think or about the way we act or something like that. And the scripture lessons that we have today are talking about how God does new things and how we respond to that. It should not be surprising to us that God is always doing new things. You know, I think we kind of think of God as unchanging, just kind of this constant whatever. But God is a creator. You know what creators do? They create. They change things. They make things new. They improve things. So it should not be surprising at all to us that God is always doing something new. But not just for the sake of newness. Sometimes I think fashion is just for the sake of newness. Well, we did it last year. Let's do something different this year, right? But one of the things that is different about the faith of in the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus is that where a lot of the old nature religions lived with this idea that there was a constant circle that just never changed. There was winter, there's spring, there's summer, there's fall, right? There is planting, there's growing, there's harvest, and then there's hoping you make it through the winter, and it just keeps going like that. And so those are the religions that pray for fertility and for rain and all of these things. Because it doesn't seem like anything is going anywhere. It's just this constant repetition. If you were a farmer, your child would be a farmer, your grandchild would be a farmer, and they will do the same things that you have done. The faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus is different. This God has a purpose in mind. We are moving towards something. And if you want to find one of the most pivotal verses in the Bible, go to the call of Abraham. Do you remember that? God comes, tells him to go where you are, just get out of town, leave everything, and I'm going to give you some things. Some of them seem impossible, like children and nation and all of that. But the one that so much of the Bible hinges on is the promise that through Abraham's family, every family on the face of the earth will be blessed. That's the goal. That's where we're heading, okay? So these changes, these new things that God is creating are not just for the sake of, well, let's do something new, I'm bored, but rather moving toward that goal. Along the way, God gave the people some things that could help them stay faithful. Some of these were the instructions that we find in the law, how to keep themselves distinct so that they don't kind of wander over into this endless cycle stuff, but keep in mind that God has a purpose, a blessing for people. And periodically we run into trouble, because one of the things that happens to you and I is that we don't like change very much. I know my husband well enough after 54 years that if I put something new in front of him for supper, I better explain what's in it before he'll taste it, right? Because he likes to know. He doesn't want some surprise thing in there, you know? We need a certain amount of predictability and certainty in order to exist. But sometimes, in order to try so hard to be faithful, we lock ourselves into cement. And that's what happened to some of the folks that we call Pharisees, some of the folks who are trying so hard. And we know them still to this day. I had a great-grandmother who they said had a brittle faith. Brittle, like in peanut brittle. It would break easily if something changed, because she had a certain way that you had to believe, you had to act, or else it all fell apart. Lots of times, the people who are trying the hardest to be faithful don't see when God is changing things. They don't see it. And sometimes they get in God's way. Okay? So in Acts, we have a situation like this happens. One of the most stunning, startling, difficult to deal with ideas that happens in the New Testament is that after all of these centuries of being the chosen people waiting for Messiah to come, Messiah comes, and guess what? He's not just for the chosen people, but he is the vehicle through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. This was the point of it. And so it's very hard for those who have been keeping a strict observance of things to really open up their hearts to the idea that God has bigger plans. God has a bigger heart. In Christ Jesus, God is inviting the world into this good news. Who would have thunk, right? Who would have thunk? Now, I'm a Gentile, I don't know about you, but that means I get to be part of this story, right? And so Peter has gone on a little trip. He's been out on his missionary trip, and we're told here that in the Acts text, that while he's out there, he has a vision. And when he comes back home to the folks of Jerusalem, he's telling them about this. He said, I had a vision, and I saw this sheet come down, and it had all of these animals on it, which we are forbidden to eat by kosher law. We're not supposed to touch those things. But this voice from heaven is telling me to eat it. And I said, I can't do that. That would be that would be heresy. That would be unfaithful. That would be terrible. I'm a faithful Jewish fellow. I'm not going to do that. And the vision keeps coming, and it says, kill and eat, kill and eat, kill and eat. And he's just struggling with, now, what do I do? What do I do with this? And there's a lovely line there when he sees this vision, and it says, as it continues on, it says, you know, what God has made pure, don't you get in the way, right? Don't hinder what God's up to, because God is trying to tell you something new. And so these animals become kind of a way of talking about the wider world of people, about Gentiles like you and me, that we are not to be kept separate, but to be brought into the fold. And he says, so I saw this vision, and these came down, and I went and I talked to some of these believers, and they were believing. They had had some exposure to the gospel of Jesus. And while I'm talking to them, it was like Pentecost happened all over again. So the Spirit came rushing down on them, just like it did on us, just exactly the same way as it did to us. And he said, so I baptized them. You know, what are you going to do? When he goes back to Jerusalem, they're saying, yeah, but did you eat with them? I mean, honestly, did you eat with those awful people? And he said, well, I thought if I didn't, I might be getting in God's way. I might be hindering the work of God. You see, there are no second class of Christians. First people to hear the gospel were Jewish believers. But that's not enough for God. It's got to go further. It's got to go to us too. And he said, if God has sent the Spirit on them just like he did to us, then who am I to get in God's way? It is easy for us to get stuck in our ways and to not like to see change. There's a lot of times when people have earnestly struggled with change, read scripture, tried to understand what God's up to. Be careful not to cherry pick scripture, because you can make scripture say anything, right? You know that old thing about put your finger in the Bible? What if it hits the verse that says, curse God and die? You gonna do that? You can make the scripture say anything. And that's why we need to know what God is up to, what God is like. God is a creator. God is always doing new things. God is always trying to embrace more and more of us. It is God's desire that every family here, every family on the face of the earth, the people we love, the people we don't like, will be blessed. I know earnest people struggle. I mean, I'm only here because it's not that long ago that the ordination of women was a real hot topic. Was it a faithful thing to do? Was that a faithful thing to do? And earnest, faithful people disagreed on that one and have struggled with it. But we have come to know that God's heart is bigger than our willingness. And so much of what you read in the scripture, in the New Testament, especially in the epistle lessons, will be the church coming, trying to come to terms with the thought that there is no we and they, there's only us. In God's eyes, everybody I know is a sinner. So that means you're part of us. You know, there is no first class, second class. We have been saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a gift from God to bless us, to show us his love, to include us, so that we belong in this body of Christ. And sometimes that means having to change the way we think in order to not hinder God. Can I get an amen? Amen.